multiple centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
You're listening to Pacific Pulse on ABC Radio Australia.
Don't be afraid to follow your passion. A nursing and midwifery are no poor, rewarding profession where you can make a real difference in people's life. It takes compassion, commitments, and respect, but gender should never limit your potential to care and serve.
Midwifery in Samoa has traditionally been women's work, but at the Lufi Lufi Health Centre on the north coast of Opolu, you'll find principal nurse and midwife Fatu Manavau Polu Tuioli Tangaloa breaking the mould. He is one of only a few male midwives in the country, a role that he calls a gift from God. From mothers who hesitate at first to trust him, to leading a very busy health centre that serves 24 villages, Tuioli has come to overcome more than his share of challenges. But his passion for caring for women and their babies has made him a very trusted figure in this community.
I'm 35 years of age, come from the village of Salufata and Nafenga. I am married with three beautiful kids, and I'm currently live with my elderly parents. I'm a principal nurse officer looking after Lufi Lufi District Hospital and lead a team of 33 staff members, which include three midwives plus myself, 15 registered nurse, 5 enrolled nurse, 2 domestic assistant, 2 transport officer, 2 security officer, 1 nutritionist, 1 data officer, and 1 health inspectors. And we also have a doctor who works with us on weekdays and is on call after hours. We serve an estimation population of over 11,000 people across the 3 districts, which include 24 villages. And when I first come to Lufi Lufi, there were only 2 midwives providing care for the large population in the community. In fact, that challenge inspired me to become a midwife myself, to help them serve our people. And I was born and raised in a small family, and my grandmother was a traditional birth attendant, which we shorten it TPA. I witnessed many pregnant mothers successfully delivered their babies at home with her care. She had a special gift for nurturing 2 lives at once. My grandmother has been a great inspiration in my journey to become a midwife. I am today where I am today.
Tui, how many male midwives have you ever come across in your career?
Estimation of we just only have 8 in Samoa, in the whole island.
Wow. And you're one of them.
And I'm one of them working in the district area.
Wow. And so you're a nurse as well. So can I ask what your journey to becoming a midwife was like, where you studied and who really championed your career?
Yes, I'm a nurse as well. And I just follow my dreams, become a nurse. My parents just pushed me to become a teacher, but I just follow my dreams to become a nurse. Yeah, I study in the National University of Samoa, but I have a chance for an attachment. I went to Japan in 2013 as attachment. And with one of the college there.
Oh, wow. Your career has taken you all over the world, but you've spoken about your patients being unsure at first about receiving care from a male midwife. How have you navigated that challenge while maintaining the trust and respect for women's dignity and their choices?
Yeah. Yes, being a male midwife can present initial challenges, but I always prioritize respect, clear communications, and the woman's right to choose. I introduce myself professionally, explain my role, and ensure she feels safe and heard. Building trust through compassion and competence often help women feel comfortable and supported regardless of my gender.
Oh, that's very nice to hear. And can you take us through your work day? Because I'd love to know what it involves. As we heard at the start, we delayed the interview because you had a patient who needed urgent care for some back pain. So it seems like you are constantly in demand and it's very hard to lock you in because you are so busy. What does a typical day look like for you as the principal nurse at Lufi Lufi Health Centre?
Okay, as a principal nurse for Lufi Lufi District Hospital, my day starts with reviewing staff assignments and patient updates from the night shift. And also I leave a morning briefing ensure smooth coordination according departments and address any urgent issues throughout the whole night and throughout the day. I support clinical care, supervise staff, manage resources, handling administration tasks like reporting, documentations, and planning. I also engage with patients and families to ensure quality care and maintain strong communication with within the team. Every day is about balancing leadership, hands-on cares, and ensuring the center runs efficiently for our community. And also try to manage and fill in a good plan throughout the whole week, seeing an outpatient and provide so much services like outpatient care, patients, family planning, doing antenatal clinic, doing immunization for children. Yeah, and we also cater for emergency areas, emergency patients, and we're doing dressings as well. So it's a fully booked day.
You're listening to Pacific Pulse on ABC Radio Australia.
My guest is Fatumana Vauopolo Tuioli Tangaloa, and he is the principal nurse and male midwife at Lufi Health Centre in Samoa. We're talking about his journey into midwifery and the incredibly vital services they provide there. Tui, I'd like to ask about your family because you said you have children yourself. Did you help deliver them? What was your role like in your own family and your own wife's delivery?
At that time, I'm working in the operating theatre as a theatre nurse, perioperative nurse in the main hospital. And sadly, my wife gone through all C-section, cesarean section, with my three kids.
Oh, no.
Because my three kids had some complications, and that's why we all gone through cesarean section.
But they all came out healthy and they're very healthy now?
Yes, they are, man, strong and very naughty.
And what are their ages and what are they like?
My eldest daughter is 8 and my second son is turning 7 and the youngest one is turning 5.
Wow, they're getting big. And so you mentioned that your wife, gosh, how resilient to have 3 cesarean section pregnancies. How often do you think you would be performing C-sections on women in Lufi Lufi?
Sorry, we don't have to do C-section EA in Lufi Lufi. We all transfer patients to the main hospital. And our first baby, she had a few complications already strong, but my wife doesn't know because the first time she experienced that, rupture of membranes, and they took her to the theater. So the baby needs to come out early, as fast as she can.
Oh, that would be busy. And so for people listening who are outside Samoa, what is the journey like to the main hospital?
It's difficult to attach and adapt myself to the... I first worked in the theater, like 7 to 8 years. And this is my 3rd, 4th year in Lufi. From theatre, the experience from the working in the theatre, I'm taking off as a benefit for me working in the community, like in surgical side and doing fractures, like traumas. Yeah.
Yes. And I should have clarified also for the travel journey, for the women that you have to send to have a C-section away from Luffy Luffy, how far do they travel usually?
30 to 35 minutes through ambulance.
That's quite a distance when you're having a problematic pregnancy. Very stressful. But Samoa has a strong need for skilled community-based midwives.
Yes.
How do you see yourself as a male midwife contributing to these goals for Samoa's maternal and newborn health?
I see my role as vital in improving access to safe, respectful care for mothers and babies by providing skilled care close to home. I help reduce barriers that Bendy family faces, such as travel and cost. I also focus on health education and early intervention and building trust within the community. So I contribute to the broader Pacific goal of lowering maternal and newborn mortality and strengthening long-term health outcomes for families.
Wonderful. Tui, this newborn and maternal health is a very urgent health issue right across the Pacific. Do you think that you have enough support to do the work that you do? Because you are very busy and you run a very big team. There's a lot of need. So, yeah, do you think that there is enough support for the work that you do?
Actually, we are getting there, but I need more support. I need more, but we are, at the moment, we are there. But I need some more support in terms of providing more help for us, like working in district hospital, providing ambulance, because we don't have any ambulance, but in sort of transport of patients to our facility, to the main hospital.
Yeah, wow. And what about other parts that you require, other things that you require? Is it a matter of financial support and products and maternity things? Yeah. What else are the areas that really are crucial to what you do?
We need a bigger facility for us to cater in. Like I mentioned in the introduction, I'm serving 3 districts, 24 villages, 11,000 plus people. So yeah, I need a bigger hospital or facility for us to work. I need, fully financially support with anything. I need a good medical supply for our community to avoid travel and cost for our community people.
We had reported on recently there is a medicine shortage in places like Fiji where they struggle to get paracetamol and basic medication. Do you have any issues getting basic medication at the moment?
Yes. At the moment, yes. Sometimes they told us it's short, but we need to control it. So, yes, we control like one sheet per patient. And we're just waiting for them, like the big suppliers, for us. But yeah, sometimes we're out of stock.
Yeah, gosh, that's really hard to be having to monitor and to put rules around how much people can use. Just finally, Tui, for the young men in Samoa or across the Pacific who might be listening to your interview who are interested in nursing or midwifery, what might you say to encourage them to follow down this footpath, follow down your path, considering that it's a very difficult, it requires a lot of yourself to do this work?
Okay, I would like to say to our young men in Samoa and across the Pacific, don't be afraid to follow your passion. And nursing and midwifery are noble, rewarding profession where you can make a real difference in people's life. It takes compassion, commitments, and respect. But gender should never limit your potential to care and serve. If you have the heart for it, step forward. Our communities need skilled and dedicated men in health just as much as women.
That was Fatumanuvau Polu Tuioli Tangaloa, one of Samoa's few male midwives who works at Lufi Lufi Health Centre in Opolu. His journey shows how breaking gender expectations can save lives, with mothers in his community increasingly trusting of his care. Across the Pacific, though, many women still face life-threatening risks in childbirth. In Papua New Guinea, the stakes are very high and thousands of mothers and babies die each year. Midwives like Mary Nema are on the front line.
During my antenatal clinic, there was one last mother who came into clinic, and then that was her first clinic, and she was 38 weeks. I asked her question, why didn't you come for clinic all this time? And she said, I meant to do this. That's what she said. And I asked her, why did you say you meant to do it? And she said, I've got plenty of children and I'm not happy with my husband. That's why I have decided to do this and I'm planning to deliver in the bush. I said, no, my sister, my friend, you can't do this. As I am here, I want you to come to the center for safe delivery. And you are at a high risk, 9 children alive, and then that was the 10th pregnancy.
Wow.
When I checked her, I found out that it was like twins. So we advised her weekly antenatal clinic and even asked her to come to the antenatal ward and await for delivery. She said, yeah, I will do that, but I have decided to deliver in the bush. But because of your advice, I will come to the center and I will come for weekly check. That's what she said. And she thanked me and she went, and then 5 days after, that was on Wednesday, and then Friday was market day. And then following week, I waited for her to come to the center, the next clinic. They waited, but she didn't come. That Wednesday, that week, Friday, we heard that there was knock at my door early hours of the morning. And I caught up, but that fellow was not there. I was waiting, wondering who came and knocked on the door, wondering, and someone ran down and said, oh, there's someone laboring on the way, and we came to tell you that she's late stage and she's bleeding a lot. And then one of our missionaries' daughter was at a station, so she asked me if we could go and see her. So we got everything ready, IV fluid, all those necessary equipment to help her ready, and then he got on the tractor and we went. We drove down, and then where she was laboring, we arrived there and found out that she was already dead, that two babies were alive. And nobody, no other lady were there to breastfeed the baby. So I had to breastfeed the two babies, brought them to the center, gave some injections like vitamin K, Hep B, BCG, cold warm water. I washed them and then I breastfeed them. And then later I looked for other ladies to feed those two babies. So that's the story. She had the pains at night, but she reported her husband at a late stage when she was about to push. 2 meters away from the house, she gave birth. While she was pushing, the first baby came down with a force and then broke the cord, and then she was bleeding from there. Nobody to help to clamp the cord. The husband was just watching and letting her to push by herself, while the other side cord was bleeding badly because he had no idea to clamp or tie the other cord. So she bled from there and then she died. Most mothers, they, even the husbands, find out that they've got problems. They ask their parents or community to carry to the center. But for this lady, it was only her husband who escorted her. He was thinking that she's going to deliver well and just standing and watching her until she bled to death.
That is the harsh reality that many women and their families face in Papua New Guinea. Mary Nema encourages women to give birth at the Mogulu Health Centre in the Western Province to reduce the risk of losing mothers and their babies. Her story shows just how quickly childbirth can turn dangerous, but it's not a story of tragedy everywhere. Midwives are finding ways to support each other and save lives, including a WhatsApp group that was created by Sherilyn Polloman. With over 500 members across PNG and the Pacific, it connects rural midwives with mentors and specialists, offering real-time guidance on all sorts of things from resuscitating newborns to preparing mothers for safe delivery.
The phone is always on our hands every day, every time. It will be used whenever we have the phone with us. Seeing that we cannot swim alone, we need people to be around us. We need people to work with and having that connection. So this community of practice is created in a way where there are discussions that I posed, and the discussions are meant for the staff to read and discuss critically and also share experiences that are related to the discussions. We only see patients that are referred to us, to the hospital, by the rural midwives. But with this group, I've seen that it connects, that the rural midwife and even a junior rural midwife can easily get onto the phone and text and ask for advice. What I'm thinking of is to see that community grow or practice grow, and it influences the way we think, and we see ourselves that we can always make difference when we stand together for our women.
From midwives breaking tradition in Samoa to life-saving networks in Papua New Guinea, today we've seen how dedicated health workers are transforming maternal care across the Pacific. Very big thank you to Hilda Wayne and Dubravka Volodare for their reporting. You can find these stories on the ABC Pacific website, or you can listen back to Pacific Pulse with me, Melissa Macon, on your favourite podcasting app. This episode was produced on Yuggera and Turrbal Country.